So next up on Free Radio at freakradio.org, formerly at 101.3 FM, and perhaps broadcasting again there one of these days, it's the Bathrop Spears Broadside Sunday, March 3rd, 2019 show. We've got lots of stuff coming up. Probably a flashback is in the cards. And there's also interviews with Mike Zint, Berkeley activist, Cynthia Berger, local Santa Cruz tenants' rights activist, and lots of bits and pieces from folks. Well, stay tuned and you'll find out.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
Oh, let's pick up where we left off on Thursday with the Ross Camp visit, which attorney Anthony Prince of the California Homeless Union made to sort of encourage folks to, well, sign up for a class action lawsuit, learn how to defend themselves, and initiate their own lawsuits in court. And the actual motivation for this visit from Prince, who's a Berkeley attorney who's also defending and advising plaintiffs and homeless folks in Marysville, Chico, and Salinas, was the threatened dispersal of the Ross Camp, which you may remember from last week if you listened to the show or been following the city council, was supposedly postponed to an indefinite time until such time as there actually are the real support services that city council staff members, Susie O'Hara and Tina Scholl, the city manager's sort of go-to women here, have claimed, but many of us have disputed and said there's no such available, not even housing, but even shelter or even campsites for people who were threatened with March 15th dispersal. And indeed, some of those signs were still up the next day when I went out there. And although I think one of them was removed, the English and the Spanish language versions. And I guess maybe before we begin kind of picking up from where we were listening to the Ross Camp presentation by Anthony Prince, and also some of the responses of folks out there, kind of a brief update on the city council's outcome. Because when I spoke to you, those of you listening on Thursday, they hadn't put out their summary, which appears online and describes, supposedly, what the city council has actually done, the actual actions it's taken. It's kind of an action agenda. That is, it summarizes the votes taken. Although I notice the actual specifics of the votes in terms of who voted for what are not included in the action agenda, which I think is a change from earlier days. I don't know how much earlier, but it is my dim recollection that they usually would announce in this action agenda who voted for with us and who voted against it. No more, apparently, or at least that hasn't been happening recently. I'm going to read you what the council voted to agendize or directed staff to return with on March 12th, which is the next city council meeting, the second Tuesday in March. It must be said, however, as I mentioned on Thursday, somewhat angrily, perhaps, or disgustedly, the city council majority voted to return with a number of items on the agenda for presentation by staff and vote, which were not there, the most specific of which was the closing of the Loudon-Nelson bathrooms, that is to say, the opening of the closed Loudon-Nelson bathrooms, and a proposal to require the head of the Parks and Rec, who heads whether those things are open or closed, to consult the City Council before closing any more facilities and directing him to open facilities, some of which are closed. If I understand properly, that came out of the Drew Glover's recommendations, proposals, staff reports that he had prepared for February agenda, but those got mysteriously eliminated from the agenda by Mayor Martine Watkins. True, as I mentioned before, when we talked about this on Thursday, I talked about it with my friend the microphone here, that Susie O'Hara did bring up at the very end of the meeting a concern that one of the things they were supposed to bring up was this Loudon-Nelson. She didn't put it as a reopening. She put it in a somewhat more abstract way about the policies to be followed. And this came up around 12:45 at night. And I think Drew Glover, having had both of his recommendations exhaustively criticized, battered by a organized opposition, particularly around the Delaware Street, let them park overnight because the, well, it wasn't even mentioned in the staff report, but the Coastal Commission's rules require them to have gone through a process before they put up signs banning parking there at night, and they haven't done that, though those signs have been up for some years. They've been, in essence, illegally up, and that actually has been confirmed by the local Coastal Commission enforcement people that those signs should not be there. And they say, oh, they're negotiating with the city to make sure those signs are taken away. So why they can't just walk up there and pull the signs out, it's more than a little unclear, I should say. As the people park up there during the day, there are very few residences. I think the De Anza mobile home community is at one end of the Delaware. I think there's, what is it? Is it a marine lab at the other end? I'm not sure. But there was an organized effort, and it's not entirely clear who did it, to mobilize a long line of people to come and denounce the RV dwellers up there as filthy this, filthy that, trash and safety. All these issues were raised that without any kind of real clear documentation. And Glover's proposal got defeated 4-3. Actually, it never even got voted on. It was pulled. And similarly, another proposal for a homeless emergency was also defeated. This one with Justin Cummings running in the other direction, or voting in the other direction, if you will. And so the other proposals that Glover had didn't really even get mentioned as real voting options. Although, coming up on the next agenda are the following. Tenants legal services request. I'm not quite clear what that would involve, but I think it involves some financial support for legal services, which I'll perhaps be talking about that more as the meeting gets closer. A comprehensive list of possible city-owned locations for transitional encampments and safe parking locations. I believe this was supposed to come up at this meeting and was slated to be on the agenda for discussion in February, in the first February meeting, February 12th meeting. There were two meetings in February, the 12th and the 26th. Then there is a direction for the staff to share information with the county, a series of vague recommendations. Direct staff to provide a sense of urgency about, and it's described as how that these opportunities are incorporated into the project charter, which is a most nebulous way of talking about a procedure for holding the city, the head of Parks and Rec of the city, accountable for the bathroom situation, where some bathrooms have been closed now for 3 years, such as the City Hall bathrooms, except during those occasions when the City Council is holding meetings. Initially done quite explicitly, it seemed like, as a The excuse was vandalism, but the real cause had to do with protesters who were doing the so-called freedom sleepouts in front of City Hall, protesting the city police abuses against homeless people, particularly around ticketing for sleeping and being in closed areas and being in a park after dark, when there was absolutely inadequate shelter for people and people had no options but to sleep in various public spaces or risk trespass spaces in throughout Santa Cruz. We noted that the Verizon cell tower proposal was defeated 4-3, Cynthia Matthews objecting vigorously. And those are the kind of votes I would like to see more of. I'm never entirely convinced of the dangerousness of cell tower radiation, though I've had people on the show talking about it quite seriously. And I've also never gotten a cell phone of my own, mostly for reasons involving not wanting to be in the habit of spending a lot more time on the phone than I... the already inordinate amount of time I spend on the phone already. So, but still, there are... I've read, reasoned accounts of cell phone damage, and I've heard Marilyn Garrett speak at City Council on the issue doggedly, faithfully, devotedly on this issue, or determinedly might be a better way of putting it. Anyway, the attempt to get a Verizon cell towers placed was defeated, which is very unusual. And it does show that this majority, just like it had when it passed the first reading of the rent freeze and the Just Eviction Protection Ordinance in January until it got frightened away and Justin Cummings' vote changed, they can do something if they want to. Now join Anthony from Berkeley, Anthony Prince, at the Ross Camp on February 27th, talking about the lawsuits that he's currently involved in and that the Union of the Homeless he's hoping to organize across the state, as well as legal defense tactics for folks out at the Ross Camp.
Okay, Robert. Thank you. Actually, you put it right. So let me just say, let me introduce myself. My name is Anthony Prince, and as Robert said, I'm general counsel of the attorney for the Homeless Union. I want to introduce Wes White. He's standing behind his own camera, because Wes records and documents everything that happens. Wes is also president of the Salinas Homeless Union. We started the union in Salinas almost 5 years ago, and we've now spread. We have locals of the homeless union in Chico, Marysville, Yuba City, Oakland, and now in Chico. Here in Santa Cruz. So the idea is a very simple idea. I don't know how many people here worked in places where there was a union. Anyone ever work in a place where there was a union, where you're a member of a union? You've heard about unions, right? And what they do on the job is they represent the people that work in a particular location, because you can't do anything by yourself. You can't get a contract. You can't get treated fairly on the job just if you fight the employer on your own. You have to bring the whole workforce together, and then you have some power. And right now they're pushing homeless people around. They're pushing poor people around. Even though there's millions of us in the state of California, there's 8 million people in the state of California who are living at or below the poverty line. 8 million people. There's no reason why 8 million people should be pushed around and made to live in conditions that are not suitable for a human being. You know what I'm trying to say? So what we're trying to do with the homeless union is we like to say the homeless union is looking for a few good men and women and children, because these young kids are also leaders. They're also homeless. Did you know that 25% of all the school children in the United States are homeless? Did you know that?
Yep.
And that's true for this county, and it's true for Monterey County. It's true for the entire state of California. And like we say, it's hard to do your homework when you don't have a home. So we're organizing at all levels of the homeless community, okay? So basically, my understanding is that and I see the poster over here, that they're going to take this camp down on March 15th. And I understand that last night, the city council discussed this and it's a little bit unclear what they're going to do. They might wait a little bit longer, or they might actually shut the camp down on the date they have posted. But under the law, as Robert said, they cannot. Under the law, they cannot ticket you or cite you or tell you to get out unless they have a place for you to go that's habitable, that's safe.
How do we respond to them when they say you have to leave?
Okay, now, if someone, I mean, when they come, who? Let me ask you this, who has said that to you?
No one has said that to me personally. I had my home stolen. My tent was taken a couple days ago.
Okay.
I'm going to try to get another tent somehow and find somewhere to put it. And if I'm approached and asked to leave, how do I respond?
Okay, I actually have some handouts that gives you some advice as what to do if an official or the police or a ranger comes up to you and tells you you need to leave. I'll give these handouts to you. In fact, let me go through a few of the points right now. Give me a second here.
Sure, thank you.
And Anthony goes to the table and picks up some flyers.
So the first thing that we would advise is if someone comes up to you and tells you that you have to get out, you should first of all get their name. If they have a badge and a badge number, get that information. See this young lady up here? She's got a little notebook and a pen. Everyone in this camp should walk around with a notebook and a pen and a cell phone if you have one. It's very important to get information, okay? So if someone comes up to you and gives you some kind of order, move on or get out of here or pack up and leave. Find out, get the identity of that person. Find out what their badge number is if they're a law enforcement officer. Find out if they work for the county, if they work for the city, if they're a ranger, if they're a member of the Santa Cruz Police Department. Get that information. If you have a cell phone, you should immediately start filming what's going on. You have the right to take your cell phone and record an interaction with any official, so long as you don't interfere with that official. And that includes the police. If a policeman comes up to you and starts telling you, hey, you can't stay here, or you got to move, or, I'm going to take your things, or if you don't, I'm going to give you a ticket, I'm going to give you a citation. You have the right to stand right there and document the whole incident. I always suggest that you try to team up with someone. If you're approached by an official and they tell you, start giving you an order, tell them just a second and get your tent mate, get your friend. That's one of the advantages.
They put me in a straitjacket.
Okay, all right. That's one of the advantages of having a camp like this, is you guys are getting to know each other. This is a community. So take advantage of that and get a friend to stand with you. So there's a witness. And maybe the friend can hold the cell phone while you have the back and forth with the officer. Hey, brother. We're trying to do a little thing here. All right, so...
Can they refuse to give us their name and badge number?
They are not supposed to refuse. Okay. But if they do, you're documenting that fact. You're making a record of that fact, and that officer could get in a lot of trouble if he doesn't identify himself or if he doesn't have his badge and his name clearly visible. Okay? All right.
And you can also demand for their supervisor to come, and then you get their name and badge number, and you get more people involved, the less they want to get themselves in trouble.
Hold on. We're going to do this in an organized way. All right, hang on. We're going to get your question in a minute. Did you finish, Wes?
Yes.
Well, let me repeat what Wes said so you guys can hear. What Wes was saying was that you can also ask for a supervisor. If you have an interaction with, a code enforcement officer or a ranger, say, just a minute, I want you to get your supervisor over here.
And have them tell you that.
They never do.
What's that?
And have that supervisor tell you the same thing that guy said.
Right, and make the supervisor repeat what the officer just told you. In many cases, they'll stop right there because they don't really want to get their supervisor over there. Say, okay, well, we'll talk to you later. But the main thing is you want witnesses, you want to get information, and you want to create a record of what happened. That's very important. Now, you need to tell them, if they tell you to move on, like the example you're talking about, they tell you, okay, you got to get out of here. You have to say, I don't have any place to go. What place do you have for me to go? Ask them that question. Get an answer from them.
Didn't you also say they dropped that date? You no longer have to leave on that date?
ballots.
That's what the law is this. My understanding is that gate is still up in the air. If I was you, if I was living in this community, I would assume that they very well might, on March 15th, just walk in here and start breaking up the camp. We've seen this happen in city after city, where they just show up one morning and start breaking the camp down. Now, my understanding is that they're talking about they won't do it until they have shelter space for everybody. But I think that it's better to be prepared for whatever might happen, and that means you guys got to get organized. You got to have a system where you are keeping yourselves informed, one another keeping yourselves informed.
I think it's Belton. Is it Valley's Rose Hall Church in Belton also?
What's that?
The whole state, the whole district.
I can't do Belton.
Okay, this young lady is asking if it's true in Felton. Let me tell you something. It's true throughout the entire western states of the United States. There's a court called the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They have jurisdiction over 9 western states, including the entire state of California. In the entire state of California, the law is this. The law is unless they have a suitable place for you to go, and which does not mean just get out of here. It means a suitable place for you to go, which they have to identify to you. They cannot kick you out of where you are. They cannot do that. And you need to tell them that. You need to first say, okay, wait a minute. Do you have a place for me to go? Where is it? What is it? Let me check to make sure that I can get in there. Give me the phone number. Let me make sure that it's available to me right now. Otherwise, and then you tell them, whether they're a code enforcement officer, police officer, you tell them, it's my understanding under the law, and we're going to write this stuff down for you guys and pass this information out to you guys. You tell them about Martin versus Boise. That's just a legal case, but you give them that information. You push back. Let me tell you something that happened the other day in Marysville. You guys know that it's been flooding. I know it's been flooding here. It's been flooding up in Marysville. And a lot of our members who live up on the river, on the Yuba River, they've been coming off the levees and off the river bottoms, and they went to one of our churches. They went to a church that's very supportive of the homeless union. And they had about 5 or 6 trailers and about 10 people that were camping because they were going to get flooded out if they didn't come to the church. So our union brought them to the church. So the police showed up at the church, and they walked into the parking lot and said, you guys all need to leave here. You're not supposed to be here. So the president of our Marysville local, and his name is Brian Brown, he told the police officers, that's not the law. The law is Martin versus Boise. You cannot chase us out of here unless you have a habitable place for us to go. So the cops said to him, oh, we'll see about that. And they walked around and went inside the church. And a few minutes later, the police got in their squad car and took off without arresting anybody and without kicking anybody out of that church parking lot. And that's the power of being able to know what your rights are and be able to cite to what the law is to protect yourselves. You know what I'm trying to say? I want to say I'm really happy to see this group here. This is a small group, but we're looking for serious people. We're looking for people like you guys, all right, who are leaders. I suggest that you guys form yourselves up as a committee here. Organize yourselves as a committee and think about filing your own lawsuit if that becomes necessary. You don't need a lawyer to file a lawsuit. We'll help you. We'll help you with your own lawsuit. We've had members of our union file suit against Yuba County and the city of Marysville, and their cases went forward in court. That's called pro se, when you don't have a lawyer but you represent yourself. How many of you guys have been to court for, you don't have to tell me what, but how many of you have been to court for one reason or another? All right. How many of you had lawyers? How many of you had lawyers? Not most of you did not. If you're charged with a criminal offense, you have the right to have a public defender. And if you're going to bring your own lawsuit or be charged with something, you can represent yourself and you can get a lawyer to help you represent yourself. So we can't supply lawyers, but we're going to train you guys if you're willing to learn how to file your own lawsuits and represent yourselves in court. You understand what I'm saying? You guys willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? It's not going to be easy. We're going to have classes. We're willing to come down. We have materials for you to read. We'll go through some exercises so you can learn. And when you actually write out the complaint, you guys can do it yourself. I want to show you something. Oh, I left it in the truck. I wanted to show you, that's all right. I wanted to show you an example where one of our members filed his own lawsuit, and he wrote it out by hand. And he put all the, you guys have seen what a lawsuit looks like with the name, the plaintiff, defendant, in the court, all that good stuff, right? He got himself some law books and he trained himself on how to file this. What's that now?
He didn't have any complaints.
Well, what do you mean he didn't have any complaints?
All right. Do you know what law books?
All right. Okay. So, all right. So that's the first order of business, is to understand that the law is something that we do have some law on our side. We want to learn what that is, and we want to be able to file our own lawsuits and represent ourselves in court. We'll help you do it. But you got to become part of our movement here, because you can't do anything by yourself. You have to be part of a team. You have to be part of a group. That's why we call ourselves union. Okay, question.
Do you know the name or the category of what law book we need to refer to file our own lawsuit?
I'm sorry, okay? Did I get you?
Sorry.
You can go, first of all, you can go online, and if you have access to a computer, you can go online and you just look up how to file your own lawsuit in California. And it's not that difficult. But we'll go over this. We don't have time today, but if you guys are serious, and the people that organized this get-together today, we got about 8 or 9 people who signed up already on a sheet that I saw going around right here. Rabbi, got this sheet right here. Pardon me? More than that. That's a very good and very important first start. That can become the committee, the plaintiff's committee, right there, okay? So what we'll do... What we'll do is we'll make sure you guys get some materials and a how to file your own lawsuit handbook. That's not hard to do. And we'll come down and we'll help you do it. Sit right there with you. But you guys got to be willing to do it and make the effort. So the other thing is that, where's Keith? So Keith McHenry over here, he put together a sheet. We got to make sure everybody gets those sheets. Now, if they tell you that you have to go to some place, if they say, okay, well, you can go to this shelter, you can go to this place, Keith has a sheet where you fill it out, you call them up, you find out, are you full? Do you have room there? Or what are the rules there? You get all that information, okay? Because you don't want to go to some place where they're not going to treat you right, or they're going to kick you out with no valid reason. So he's going to have those for you guys.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So what if you don't want to go to the place that they offer you? Because that's what they were talking about last night at the city council. Oh, they don't know.
Well, I would say we hear this a lot. People don't want to go to a place. But then the issue is, why not? Instead, the city council should say, well, let's hear the problems. We know what the problem is in some of these places, that they don't treat you respectfully. They have rules that are not reasonable. Sometimes they won't let you bring all of your personal possessions in. Sometimes they won't let you bring a family member in. You know what I'm trying to say? I just learned of a system here where they have to make you go to a different church every night. You guys know about that system they got here?
Yeah.
And one of those churches is located on a hilltop where people have to walk up kind of a steep hill to get there. Is that right?
I don't know about that.
Okay. I was just informed about that.
Oh, there's up on my street.
Yeah, I think that's it. But see, that's a place that if you have a difficulty getting around, maybe you're older, you have a disability, that would be impossible for you to get there.
Right.
So that place is not available to you. So if that place is not available to you, the police can't tell you to leave. You get to stay right in the camp where you are.
Really? What was that?
Yeah, question. Over here.
When you said that they have to go,
Here's I'm just telling you what the law is. If you're camping on the levee and they come up to you and they say, hey, you can't be here, then they have to be able to have a place for you to go that's safe and habitable. Okay? And if they don't, what's that?
Jail doesn't count.
No. I'm trying to answer your question there. So if that happens, let's say, what's your name? Ryan. If they come up to say, okay, look, you got to get out of here. The first thing you have to get is who they are, get their identifying information. If they're police officers, get the name, badge number. If they're rangers, get all that information. All right? You have to ask them, Well, if I have to leave here, where am I going to go? Tell me where I'm going to go. And I'm going to call that place now and see if they actually have room for me there right now. And you have the right to do that. And if they don't have room for you there, you get to stay right where you are and they can't tell you to leave.
I have a question about that.
Simple as that.
What about a hotel voucher? I have a question about
somebody like myself that got her tent stolen. That was my home.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about a hotel voucher? I've nowhere to sleep.
Did they give you a hotel voucher?
No.
Okay. All right. Do you have some place to go?
No.
Okay.
Possibly my mom, but she's in a retirement community. She can't really have
to. Okay. All right. Well, you don't need to share your personal information too much. I would hope that someone here in the community will help this young lady out for the next few days. Someone here in the camp will help this young lady out for a few days. These kind of things are happening to everybody, and we're not going to be able to do anything about it until we organize, until we get our numbers together. Yeah.
I have a question. Do we still have a right to remain silent?
That's a good question.
Okay.
That's a very good question. If the police, I'm sorry. All right. If the police come up to you, you have, and they say, "What's your name?" You do have to give them your name, but you don't have to give them any other information.
Just the name.
Just the name.
The right to remain silent, right?
Well, that's if you're in custody. But if you're not free to go, then they have to read you your rights.
No, I'm just asking because we were distributing yesterday a different kind of paper with all the questions that we're supposed to answer to the police.
What was this now?
We just got distributed, like a handout.
Okay.
It's somewhere in my camp. I'll bring it out to you. But it's just something completely different from, like, having the ability of, like, right to remain silent.
That's right. You're absolutely right. You don't have to tell them anything but your name. They're not entitled to have any other information but your name. Right?
You might have to tell them not.
Well, you might have to, but you don't.
If you get a ticket and you don't get arrested.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to tell them your name if you think by telling them your name that you'll get in some kind of trouble. That's right. If you might have a warrant out or something like that, if you think there might be a problem with saying your name, then you don't have to give me your name. I don't have to tell you my name.
Okay.
And if they tell you.
They can take you. They can.
If they tell you you have to leave, you got to say, well, where am I going to go? Tell me right now. Because if you haven't got a place for me to go, I have the right to be right here. All right?
Any other questions?
Well, I think you guys need to spread the word, you know, about what we're forming here. Where you guys are welcome. What's that? Okay, well, we got some handouts. I'm going to give them to you right now. And I think what we'll probably do is set up a meeting where we can actually go into more detail about this, maybe for next week. All right? Pardon me? Okay, any other questions? All right, so I'm going to pass some of these things out now. All right, here you go.
So, Laura and I, where's Laura? Laura and I got names and contact.
And this is Phil Posner, who is a local rabbi, also working with the group Conscience and Action out there, who is, along with Huff, sponsoring this sort of attempt to form up with the Union of the Homeless and better protect the rights of folks in Santa Cruz. Now, I'm not terribly optimistic about this being any kind of certain solution to anything, but it certainly doesn't hurt. And so here's Phil Posner talking.
Yes. So if we contact you to come to an organizing meeting with Anthony, we're hoping, obviously, you're going to show up, because if Anthony's nice enough to come down from Berkeley, we don't want to disappoint him. So that's that. I would also, and I would be glad to give the phone to my colleague Robert, because he's probably going to disagree with me a little bit. I would like to clarify what happened last night. The city council, by a majority of 4-3, voted to rescind the motion that had been made that people at the Ross camp would have to leave by March 15th. That was a vote of 4-3. The reason I'm telling you that is it's important to give respect to the four councilmen who voted that way. Drew Tover, Chris Crone, Sandy Brown, and
and
Justin Cummings.
I'm talking on the telephone. So that happened. Then later on, towards the end, they discussed, and I want Robert to clarify this, they discussed the fact that they had been in dialogue with the county over the previous decision for people to have to move. So, however, they did not rescind the motion that they had made that people would not have to move. So, as far as I understand it, a motion was made and it was passed by four progressive councilmen, thanks to them. Do you want to add something?
I think that there are some folks in the campground who are trying to form a kind of a committee to chat with the merchants nearby and other residents in order to form I'm talking about a council that was, I think they're around here, a couple of them. And if you want to add your name to this list, you want to be contacted to know when the next time we're coming is, if you want to know who you could get together with to discuss these issues. I mean, what I'd really like to see here is people getting together to form some kind of representation so they can say, hey, we got a group that's going to work on issues. You know, the city with its handouts that it gives here and there is fine, but we are independent here. We are trying to live our lives here. We're trying to survive here, and this is how we do it, by getting in connection with each other. That's the way you do it, because alone, you have your own strength, but together, you have more than the strength of each individual alone. It's like the fingers and the fist. The finger is weak, the fist is stronger. So I also took over the mic for a moment to actually present to the group here a committee that is working on some of these issues now, but I don't see them around, so I'm going to have to go fuddle on that one. You want to say something else, Phil? Okay. Anthony, anything else you want to say? Anthony Prince! he's preoccupied. Anything else you want to say?
Anything else would you like to say?
No, Okay, so it seems like we got about a dozen people that signed up to learn more about how you can how you can represent yourself in court, maybe file your own lawsuit. Here, make sure these people get these right here. Pass those out. And so what's going to happen, we talked to 1 week from today, we'll have another meeting. In between now and then, read what I'm handing out to you. In between now and then, we'll get in touch with all you guys. We'll try to find a place where you can sit down around a table and actually study this stuff and put together what we need to put together, okay? Did you sign up on the paper?
I will.
Okay, you got to see who's got the sign-up sheet. Okay.
That next meeting is Wednesday, March 6th. Actually, just coming right up in 3 days. It's going to be at 1:30 out at the Ross Camp, and then folks are moving to the Rio Trailer Park, the community room at the Rio Trailer Park, around 2 or shortly thereafter. That's my understanding of that. If you want more information about this, give me a call at 423-4833 or show up at the Ross Camp at 1:30 on Wednesday the 6th.
What's your name, dear?
Desiree.
You stay here in this camp?
Okay. So, Desiree, did you want to talk to the group here about what your group wants to do, what the three of you want to do?
We want to make sure that we get our bathrooms clean daily, you know, because it's a big thing. Crystal over here does all the garbage, you know, but we want some respect. We would like, you know, people go by and they drive by and they yell at us and call us names, and they don't even know us, you know, and they do this constantly, even in the middle of the night when we're trying to sleep. So
how long have you lived here, Desiree?
About a few months, a couple months, yeah.
Jen. How's it going?
It's good.
It's, yeah, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah,
we're
good. Yeah.
What are the main needs of the folks here at the camp?
Water and
Lysol.
Cleaning supplies. Because of the bathroom.
A laundry to go
to. A laundry, some showers.
Showers.
Yeah.
Showers. Yeah. How are the police and rangers laundry. Treating you?
They haven't treated me bad.
No.
Good?
No. They haven't treated me bad at all.
Do they come through frequently? Or?
Yeah, every day.
I make sure to make contact with them that way. They know who I am, so if they ever see me and I am in the woods, you know, after they make me leave, they might have a little bit more lenience on me, maybe, you know, maybe not see me.
You know. They don't like you in the woods?
No, they don't.
They give you a legal place.
I don't like in the woods. It's not safe for me. And I told City Council, too, I said, you know, I just wanted to thank you guys for giving me a safe place to stay, you know, and if we are a community, all of us together. And and I think of all these people as my family, and they take care of me and make sure that I'm safe, and if anything were to happen to me, I got a lot of people that would have my back. The other day I was going to do laundry, and I had a lot of it because everything got soaking wet, my blankets and everything. So I took a shopping cart down to the laundromat, and on my way, there's a guy in spandex on a bike, professional guy, it looks like probably a DA or something, and he was cussing at me in profanities, jumped off his bike and pushed my shopping cart over and threw all my clothes everywhere and proceeded profanities in my face.
And the police naturally arrested that man.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely not. It took all of me to not do or say anything to that man. You know, it's my word against his, you know, and I'm gonna go to jail. But and then he proceeded to get back on his bike and go down under the Water Street Bridge and curse at somebody else and spit in their face. And and he's a very professional guy. I'm sure he rides this trail every day, you know. And
what does he look like?
He's a white guy. I can't really remember exactly, but I know, I guarantee you, if I ever seen him again, I'll know exactly who that guy is.
You have a phone to carry with you?
Yeah, but it's always dead, you know. I don't ever have anywhere to charge it, you know. And
a little charging station
or something. Yeah, so when I told City Council, I said, you know, a lot of people are claiming to be scared of us when it's not even us that to be scared of. It's like I'm more scared, and it made me feel so violated. Like I still am not over it. Like I've never been treated like so badly in my life, and I took all of me to not do anything, and it was my word against his, and he really made me feel like of nothing, you know, and I'm actually scared to run into him again, you know, and he's a normal guy, he looks like, you know, every day, yeah, very well, I mean, he looks like, you know, he has expensive bike, he's like in spandex, you know, he's got the gear, the helmet, and all that, and, you know, yeah, so it's people like that that I worry about, and the people that drive by on the freeways and have no respect for us at all, you know, they don't know if we have jobs or not, you know, some people out here do have jobs, you know, and I did the job thing and the house thing and $1,100 rent and then water, then cable, then trash, then diapers, then food, then gas, then phone, then insurance, then, you know, so it got hard, and so I've made a choice to delete all those bills, you know, and this is a safe place for me, I think.
So you two, maybe you three, because you're not a member of the camp, are you?
I'm not a member of the camp, but I like to help organize stuff.
But you two are.
She's my closest friend for many years.
And your name is?
Desiree Quintero.
And you are?
Crystal Olson.
How can people in the camp reach you if they want to talk to you about things that are happening that they think you need to know about?
All they got to do is come to our camp.
You know, you have a...
Anytime. There's not a time, you know, anytime.
People know where your tent is.
Oh, they know where our tents are.
I don't know where your tent is.
Right, just ask.
It's the big brown one next to the big trees.
Yeah, and I'm right next to
the highest one right there, the brown one.
You always see
right
me.
There, right there.
I'm always picking
trees.
Up garbage.
Right below those trees, right there, the big brown
sure.
top.
That tree there?
Yeah, no, the big one.
The big one
right there. We're all right there.
Should we look for Desiree and...
Crystal.
And Crystal.
You would like to be the Ross Camp Council.
Yes.
Right now we're trying to set people up to be part of a Ross Camp Council.
Ross Ad.
It's helpful for the community and for different organizations to have go-to people here at the camp specifically to voice concerns, to help us address issues. So far we have two members of the Ross Camp Council, three members, Mike, Desiree, and Crystal. And if anybody else would like to be on the Ross Camp Council and help us to, you know, solve some issues here, get you guys resources, you are a voice when we talk to the city council, we need your help. So if you want to come up and express the will to join the Ross Camp Council, now is a really good time to do that.
Can I ask you a question? So what exactly, how is the council set up? Who's behind it?
It's going to be Desiree and Crystal
and Mike,
people who live in the camp. I kind of just started to set this up today. They have phone numbers. They have ideas.
Drugs are illegal. If they were, they would sell them at the. They wouldn't sell them at the pharmacy.
I have a request, like maybe we could, or I don't know if there is available for us, some kind of resource worker, you know, so that we can, because there's resources out there for us and we're not using them or we don't know about them and they're just put to the side. And if we had a resource worker to be able to go to help us maybe find, you know, the resources, you know.
We need you guys to be a direct council, because if we have you guys as a direct council and we have resource workers, what we can do as a team is put them directly in contact with you. And instead of just wandering around, you know, looking for people to help or something, we can just put them in direct contact.
I'm not homeless. The earth is my home.
Anybody else want to be on the Ross Camp Council? Come on up.
Good. Another one. You know, another thing to do would be to sign up for that continuum of care. You know, what you're talking about is, you know, signing up for services and all that. If you're in there, then that actually gives you more leverage to remain where you're at, because you're already trying. They already know you. You're now harmless. You're not homeless. You're harmless. And they're supposedly trying to help you, which puts them in a worse light if they do kick you out.
Yeah. Also, last thing I wanted to note, maybe we
this
could all
Crystal.
Work together on keeping our areas cleaned up and having respect for the neighbors and not, you know, being disrespectful in the parking lot of Ross or over at the tannery or anywhere in this area. We are, of course, going to get blamed for everything that happens in this town. It's Ross members, you know.
Everybody's earthy right is to have a place to say, I want this to be mine. If you were born on this planet, you have a right to say, everybody's earthy right is to say, I want this to be mine, where I don't have to pay for it, and I don't, nobody messes with it, and I do the likewise to them.
So, I want to, this is Rabbi Posner again. We now have a list of about 20 names that people signed with their phone number. We are going to have a meeting with Anthony next Wednesday, 2:00, at the Recreation Hall at El Rio Mobile Home Park.
And that actually is happening, but at 1:30 they will be showing up previously at the Ross Camp itself and then going to the Rio Mobile Home Park Recreation Hall.
On Pacific, which is about a 10-minute walk from here. We will call you to confirm this, but those of you who have ears right now are hearing us make the announcement that if you signed Laura Tucker's and my list of wanting to participate in a class action suit, Anthony is coming down from Berkeley to meet with us. Next Wednesday, 2:00 at El Rio Mobile Home Park, the Recreation Hall. Thank you.
I'm sure.
Hey, another thing to do would be to register to vote.
Okay, you get to put a physical address as well as a mailing address, and you make yourself a person still. ID, of course, stupid shit, but still, you kind of need these things. These are weapons that you can use as a piece of paper. That's how they identify you, and to be able to be recognized on a federal level and county level is what you really need, is to be a person identified, because in that way you're harmless, not homeless, and they'll actually be obligated to take care of you better. If they do, if you register and you put the Ross Street encampment, this as your physical address, and whatever as a mailing address, that physical address, if they kick you out of there, then you re-register to vote in the new place, and you're actually creating a tracking system to tell the feds that the city and county are picking on you. And that's what it's for.
And that all happened on, I guess it was last Wednesday, the 27th of February, out at the Ross camp. A supporter of this particular movement of helping Ross camp organize into a group that can have dialogue with other groups of people who may have concerns about the behavior of some people out there, just as Ross Camp residents may have concerns about the behaviors of some trolls wandering by, vigilantes throwing bottles, abusive behavior by members of the community who think they're better than homeless people, or they have the right to treat them badly so as to get them to leave town, which seems to be an old tradition here in Santa Cruz. You can come on Wednesday at 1:30 to the camp, and then you can come at 2:00 to the De Anza Mobile Home Park Community Room, which is at the end of North Pacific, and you immediately go right, and it's the first building to your right as you get into the Rio Mobile Home Park. And in case you missed, the lyrics are: broken window smile, weeds for hair, strolling round the corner like a millionaire, and the angels with dirty faces go it alone. With one shoe on and one shoe lost stands a wounded man who just laughs it off. And the angels with dirty faces go it alone, and the angels with dirty faces go it alone. Lost a brother last night to the howling wind. Find that empty doorway, it'll be back again. And the angels with dirty faces go it alone. And the angels with dirty faces go it alone. Angels with Dirty Faces by Los Lobos. Steve Berlin said the song was inspired by the area surrounding Sound Factory West Studio, where Los Lobos recorded another song, Kiko. It was written about the homeless men on the streets outside the studio, which was on the Nickel in downtown L.A. The song was taken from the 1938 film of the same name, starring James Cagney and Humphrey Bogart. That was Angels with Dirty Faces. Somewhat hard to hear, but you heard. I'm terribly happy with the city council's reception to the Delaware Avenue remove those damn illegal parking signs, not even to provide any real facilities for people, but just to allow them to park their vehicle throughout the night, provided they aren't doing anything illegal. That evoked such a cry of anger, hysteria, and frankly, bigotry, because that's really what it sounded like, NIMBYism. Oh, somewhere else we care a lot, but not here, that it didn't seem there was much positive coming out of it at all at last Tuesday's city council meeting, including the retreat of Drew Glover, not even to go for a vote on the issue. But if you looked at some of the articles that appeared, letters in the subsequent opinion sections of the Santa Cruz Sentinel, and I don't mean the Discus bigotry backlog, there were still some proposals about where do people with RVs could go. And so in a sense, the discussion has been kicked off, and that is what Drew Glover said he wanted to hear. And I usually get rather cynical when I hear that kind of a comment. I mean, I'm not interested in talk. I'm interested in action. People in RVs who are getting ticketed or harassed by police or having great amounts of trouble finding places to go dump their waste, park at night without harassment from either neighbors or police, and then have to risk losing their homes with these expensive tickets that they have to pay. The issue is to resolve that issue, not to talk a lot more about it. But proposals that, while not the be-all or the end-all, sound like it's a serious conversation, which if you begin a serious conversation and you have actually four votes on the city council, maybe you can actually force it to some reasonable conclusion within a reasonable period of time. One can always hope. Here's one. This is again from Thursday's Sentinel, February 28th. Here is a suggestion, the letter writer begins. The Santa Cruz Resource Recovery Facility closes at 3:30 p.m. It could be open to admit RVs until 8:30 p.m. The site would need to have a resource employee on the site to address referral and resource counseling, provide waste dump connections, and freshwater replenishing services. This is a parcel of land adjacent to one of the most beautiful sites in California, Wilder Ranch State Park. Granted, the parking would be fenced off from the park and from the adjacent horse facility with no permitted access. No one could claim that the place permitted was far removed from that to which the most privileged citizens have access. Joyce Salisbury, Santa Cruz. The next letter reads, as the Santa Cruz City Council grapples with homeless parking, why not consider a safe overnight parking program at the Front Street Garage? The second floor would be ideal. It's protected from rain and wind and has 144 parking spaces. It has lighting and security cameras. Movable night barriers could direct regular traffic to the first and third floors. Install porta potties and hand washing stations and hire nighttime security guards or nighttime security. Vehicles would need to be currently registered and the owners licensed, in at 10:30 p.m. and out by 7:30 a.m. to allow for normal business and commercial use. Santa Barbara has had homeless overnight parking for 15 years with no major incidents or damage to the lots or neighborhoods. We can learn from their New Beginnings, as they call it in Santa Barbara, program, and offer local homeless folks living in their vehicles a safe, well-lit parking location for themselves and their family members. Signed by Laura Caldwell, Santa Cruz. But Laura doesn't mention or perhaps doesn't know is what Santa Barbara activist Peter Marin has told us in some of the interviews we've had with him in the past, that A, that's a very limited program, and B, Santa Barbara has taken bigotry a step further by banning oversized vehicles, some way that Berkeley has reportedly done as well. Recently, according to, we're going to hear this from Mike Zint. In fact, I think I may be playing that interview next. As Marina and Seaside have done, essentially giving a very small token place for people to park a few of their vehicles, but no place to go during the day, and a law banning parking them during the day. So it's clear what's happening is cosmetic, but in Santa Cruz it could be different, at least temporarily, with a four-person majority on city council that actually, in theory, supports some of these proposals. Although, again, Justin Cummings, it seems to be a wild card in a way, as they all are. The third letter in the Sentinel that I noted was this: the homeless camp shouldn't close until other options exist. I am acutely aware of the vulnerability that the homeless face, especially in the wintertime. 2 years ago, I found an elderly man in the gutter in the rain near my office off of River Street. I had seen him earlier in a precarious situation as he set up a clearly inadequate sleeping arrangement on the edge of the sidewalk as a cold drizzle was starting. I hadn't immediately intervened, yet kept thinking of him. I went back and found that he was completely soaked, unable to speak or move. I pulled him out to the gutter, called 911, and later learned that he died that night. No one should die that way. I should have acted sooner. We can't pretend that people who are mentally ill, unstable, or vulnerable can find adequate shelter on their own when few options exist. Monica Lorenas, Santa Cruz. And both those three letters by Monica Lorenas, Joyce Salisbury, and Laura Caldwell, three women, notice, all appeared in the Sentinel one day, 2 days after the Santa Cruz City Council meeting's bigotry fest, eliminating the Delaware... Well, they didn't eliminate the Delaware parking. They just reaffirmed that the illegal signs on Delaware would continue in violation of Coastal Commission regulations, which they can't really do anyway. If so, in a sense, those tickets, and if people are given tickets, they can presumably be effectively challenged in administrative court. But that, again, is a problem because administrative courts are not like the ordinary municipal and superior courts. They are sort of much more kind of, I don't want to say privatized, but they seem to have less access to the public and less access to basic rights as far as you would normally expect when you walk into a court of law. And I know about them primarily through conversations I've had with a few people who've been through them and had bad results with them. So I'm going to wait until I have more specific and up-to-date information before saying more, but what I've learned in the past has not been terribly optimistic.